I saw a meme last week, and it made me chuckle. And this is what it said. My wife just stopped and said, "You weren't even listening, were you?" And I thought, that's a pretty weird way to start a conversation. Can anyone else resonate with that besides me? Let's face it, listening can be difficult, especially with all the distractions that we have these days. And also, I think sometimes it's just more fun to talk about stuff than it is to listen. I know for extroverts like me, it is anyway. There's a TV writer, Rob Lasnik, and he says this, "Listening is like reading a corporate report. Talking is like eating a cinnamon bun." Thought, man, that's pretty accurate. Give me the cinnamon bun most every time. And Harvard conducted some research, and they show this, that the same areas of the brain that activate when we eat foods like pizza and fried chicken, those comfort foods, those same reactors go off when we talk about ourselves. That over 60% of our conversations are about ourselves, and it goes up to 80% when it comes to social media. That's about accurate, isn't it? We think about it, that's how we like to do. We like to talk, don't like to listen. But when we look at the engagement with God and his people, all throughout Scripture, it's this central component is listening in the conversation. And in fact, it's how we become disciples of Jesus. And it's so important on how we continue to be his disciples and to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, we hear and we follow. It said, Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." In Romans 10, it's hearing comes before faith. It says, faith comes from learning, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. And in James, this verse of scripture that we're pretty familiar with, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen and slow to speak. I share that at every wedding, by the way. That's really important because we get that one backwards. And the Bible talks about listening more than 1,500 times. Do you know that? I want to repeat that because by now you're probably not even listening. The Bible talks about listening more than 1,500 times, and I love this proverb, Proverbs 17. It says, "A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered, and even fools are thought wise when they keep silent with their mouths shut. They seem intelligent." Isn't that backwards from our culture? Our culture says, hey, let me tell you a whole bunch of stuff so you can know how wise and important I am. Actually, Scripture says that's backwards. Listen, listen, listen. Listening is so important to having healthy relationships. And no matter who you are, we long for healthy relationships. We do. I'm not saying you long for a bunch of them, but the relationships you have, you want them to be healthy. It's why we're doing this series. We're week 3 of this 5-part series called Emotionally Healthy Relationships. And every week, we're learning how to better love the people that we have relationship with. And that is a mark of a disciple, when you're growing in your ability to love other people, right? When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? We talk about this around here all the time. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. This deepening ability to love people is a mark of a disciple. And it's important. Brian mentioned for the last couple weeks, he said, sometimes our greatest roadblock in our spiritual maturity is our relational maturity. And that's important. So during this series, we're helping all of us, because we're not necessarily saying we got this mastered. All of us are learning 5 relational skills that can help learn to love well. Guess what today's relational skill is? Anybody know?
Listening.
Listening. And here's some really good news about listening I want to share with you today. We can't love well if we don't listen well. But when we listen incarnationally like Jesus, we cross over from simply hearing someone to loving someone. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. I'm already a really good listener. Well, before you get too proud, you might need to ask someone who knows you really well and say, hey, how good of a listener am I? And let them be honest with you and be open for that. Like Brian said last week, maybe this is below that waterline, the iceberg, some information, some awareness that you could know. But I'm going to give some of you the benefit of the doubt. If you're a pretty good listener, I'm going to say you might be a good listener. Jason, I imagine you're probably a good listener, right, Amanda? You probably are. Regardless how good of a listener you are, Jason and everybody else, we could all grow in this area. We could. So we're going to talk about that. And by the way, being followers of Jesus, we ought to be the best listeners on the planet. We should be. But I don't think we are. Collectively as a group. Matter of fact, I have never heard anybody say, man, those Christians, they are some of the best listeners I've ever heard. Like they truly want to know about my world, my thoughts, what's going on. And they're not just out to share a bunch of thoughts with me. They really care. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I've never heard anybody say that. Not to me, really. The world could use more listening because we like to be listened to. You've heard me share in here say things like, man, I'm thankful for my counselor, or I probably need to talk to my counselor about that. And when I do, you guys laugh. But I'm not really joking like about counseling. Like, I have a counselor, and I talk to him about a lot of stuff and a regular rhythm that I meet with on a regular basis. And a few sessions ago, I walked out of there, and I had this, like, what we call a kairos, something that I noticed and I named. And what it was, when I walked out of there, I felt like, man, why did I feel so, like, lighthearted and, like, cared for? And, like, I felt really good when I walked out of there. But the reason I noticed that that was different is because I wasn't going through a crisis. This was just like a normal session. I already had it on the calendar. And it's a rhythm I have in my life. So I just went out of due diligence to maybe avoid a crisis the next week. I'm not sure. So I went to the counseling appointment. I didn't talk about anything I was struggling with. He didn't give me any advice or direction. All he did was ask a few questions and just listen to me for an hour. And I was like, man, that made a big difference, just listening, not the advice. And it made me think about, you might be thinking like, oh yeah, well, your counselor's paid to listen. He is, I pay him. But it still doesn't discount the fact that he listened and it made a difference in my life, not because of the advice. And I began to think about the people who've listened in my life, friends, family members, and my wife. And like when they've truly listened, and what difference that made in my life. And I just didn't feel heard, but I felt loved, like really loved. And I bet if you take a moment this morning, matter of fact, just take a moment this morning. Just do this. Close your eyes for just a second. And I want you just to think of a time where you know someone listened to you. Just take a moment. Or you remember feeling heard. That's probably enough. So one of two things. Either you could remember a moment, or you couldn't. If you couldn't, that's sad. It really is. That underscores this message even 10 times more. Or you remember a moment pretty quickly because it made an effect on your life. Like when people listen to you, you feel loved. It changes something within you. And people want to be listened to. I love this story that I read. A New York couple named Liz and Bill. And they spent months on the street simply listening. Like they thought, it's just going to be good to get to know strangers. So they went out on the street and they held up this sign that says, "Talk to me." And they were out there for 12 hours a day just listening. And they said they had all kinds of people come up to them and just share with them and talk to them about all kinds of things, personal things, deep things, hurtful things. They had a police officer that told them about relationship problems that they were dealing with. There was a person who had recently lost their job, and they said there was this one man that stopped and talked to him for 3 hours. Some of you are thinking, that's brutal. Why would they do that? That's torture. For 3 hours, he talked to him about relational difficulties, about how so much time had passed through things. Talk to him about the war. Talk to him about how 3 years ago he actually thought about committing suicide. These are strangers that they're opening up to. Why? Simply because they were listening. because we long for someone to listen to us. And this is important. We can't love well if we don't listen well. But if we listen incarnationally like Jesus, we cross over from simply hearing someone to loving someone. So you might be thinking, I know what it means to listen, but what does it mean to listen incarnationally? Like, what is that difference? Well, incarnation is the central part of God's story, right? We know this. The Apostle John says it in this way. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So Jesus is fully God, present with God in the beginning. Now incarnation takes on flesh and becomes one of us. And John makes it clear who this was. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The all-powerful moved into the neighborhood, became one in the person of Jesus, and Jesus identifies with us and understands us and felt and dealt with everything that we deal with and knows all of our emotions because he dealt with them, joy and sorrow and anger and suffering, all of it. He knows what it's like to be us, the incarnation of Jesus. And he knows this, that we can't love if we don't listen. So the incarnational listening isn't like the incarnate. It is different, but I think there's parallels. And I want to talk about four postures that we see in Jesus, in the incarnation of Jesus, that I think will help us listen incarnationally, okay? Here's the first one. Jesus left his world. Like, he left something. He could have remained with God. Brian talked about this, I think, at Easter, Christmas, I don't know when you talked about it. It was really good. This idea that he chose it, not like he had to, like he chose to come and be with us. He gave up all of his rights to come and be with one of us, to identify with one of us. So he left his world. So what does it look like to leave our, how do we leave our world? Like, what does it look like for me to leave like my world? Like, I'm not in heaven, so how do I do that? Paul describes it a really great way. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege and he took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So when we leave our world, we give up our own thoughts and opinions to open ourselves to the others, to the other person. Leaving our world means we begin to think less about us and we start thinking about others. Everybody say less about us, more about others. It's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to feel. It's not how we're wired. And then what happens is we enter into their world. And that's the second posture of Jesus. Jesus enters into our world. And he entered in by experiencing the things that we experience. And Jesus was fully present. When you see him walking with his disciples, communicating with people, he was fully present with people all the time. Not distracted, not rushed. Does anybody else struggle with being rushed? Man, I am so bad at this. I move from one thing to the next, but I don't move after I get done with this one. I move while I'm in this one. Like physically, I'm here. My brain is in the next one. I'm starting to think about what's coming next, where are we at? And Jesus didn't do that. He stopped and was present, fully present. Jesus was entering into their world. And we can do this by giving the person our full attention. Like, that's hard to do, but maybe just ignore your phone. I was getting all kinds of texts this morning. We can't hear. It's like, I had to throw my phone down after we went and fixed some things. But and he stepped into their shoes. We call this empathy. You step in and feel. You are a human. It's okay to feel. And it's okay to step in and feel what other people are feeling. And this is another way to do this. Avoid judging or interrupting. While someone's talking to you, do you ever do what I do and start thinking about how wrong that is or whatever they're doing or your opinion? Do you ever think about that? Or start rehearsing in your mind what you're going to say next? Ooh, that reminds me of a really good point. All right, hurry up. Just shut up so I can tell you your point. Like, we would never say that, but that's what's going through our brains, right? We have to stop doing that. Just because it's normal doesn't mean it's good. So we have to stop doing that. Matter of fact, remember what it says in James? It says you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. So Jesus left his world. He entered into our world. And in a third posture, as Jesus remained himself, he was fully God, fully human. He was tempted. He faced all the things that we face. And he remained fully God, yet was still fully human. He didn't compromise who he was. Sorry, I got a really bad tickle, man. It's freaking me out. And here's the thing. I think a lot of times that we're going to have to compromise if we listen. So if I listen to their point of view, and boy, I don't speak up, then I'm gonna compromise who I am. Like I'm gonna validate everything that they're talking about, and they're gonna walk away thinking I believe what they think, and I gotta go in, I gotta tell them what I'm thinking. We do that, don't we? And then because that's a little bit dicey, sometimes what we do is we just avoid conversation altogether. And then we're missing out on relationship, and we're sure as the world not loving someone well. We're not compromising who we are. I know there's a lot of opinions and divisiveness in our culture, but a lot of times what we do is we either avoid conversation or we listen to argue our point rather than just listening. And remember, we can't love well if we don't listen well. But if we listen incarnationally, like Jesus, we cross over from just hearing someone to actually loving them. A big difference. And the fourth posture I want to name is Jesus lived between two worlds. So while on this earth, Jesus lived in the tension of this world, but also the next world to come. He would remind people, and he'd say things like, this is temporary. There's another thing that's maybe more important that's going on in this kingdom, that it's not just about this world, it's about this world, this kingdom. And when we listen, we have to live in the tension of two worlds, this differing perspectives. Has anybody ever met in here, buddy, somebody whose perspective's different than you? Right? Like every day, every time you open Facebook, anytime you're going to enter into any type of communication, differing perspective, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. That has been elevated in a really big way. It's why this point is so important, because there's different political views, different marriage and family perspectives, different theological perspectives. And here's a really great question. Listen to this. What if we began to live in the tension, live in it instead of avoiding it? What if we began to see the tension as an opportunity to love instead of a problem to avoid or erase? What? All this tension and mess is an opportunity to love? It sure could be. Because when we listen incarnationally, we move from hearing someone to loving someone. And Jesus left his world. He moved into our world, and he lived in this tension, and he managed the tension. I love this word from David Osberger, the way he talks about love. He said, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. When someone is truly heard and listened to incarnationally, they almost can't tell the difference between somebody listened to me and somebody loved me. They're almost the same thing. This is so important. It's so big. And it's a process. And we have to learn. And we have to train how to do this. Because if I gave you a quiz at the very beginning and let somebody else judge you on how well you're listening, we're probably all really terrible at this for the most part. But it's so important. Because we can't love well if we don't listen well. But if we listen incarnationally like Jesus, we move from hearing someone to loving them. And that is a big difference because we are called to be people who love people. So this is so important. And I want to tell you, I am not that good at this. I felt so much conviction writing this message, like over and over and over. And Heather reminded me of it as well. So as we're sitting and I'm kind of going over this Friday night, she's like, you know you're not that good at it. She didn't really tell me that, but I got to a point talking about some things that I'm trying to do. And she's like, yeah, you need to get better at those. And I think it was Thursday night, she said, can you put your phone down and listen to me for a second? I'm like, oh yeah, you mean like that message I'm writing for Sunday morning? Because I'm just not that good at it. But I want to be good at it. So I'm putting some things in practice, trying to train myself to do things. So I have a thing called eye contact that I try to do. When somebody's talking to me, have eye contact with them. Look at them. Like, focus on them. And there's something incredible that happens when you have eye contact with somebody. You almost can't not focus on anything else. You begin to draw in, and they feel connected. So don't do it freakishly, you know, but look at them. Have eye contact with them. Also, something I'm learning to do is slow down and try to be available. And that's a really hard one. Right before Christmas, I ran into Walmart really quickly to pick up a couple items. 2 hours later, I walked out of Walmart. But what I noticed is I made myself available, like I listened. And people were going through some challenging stuff, and they were sharing things with me, good things that were going on. They were sharing prayer requests that were going on. And rather than just rushing around Walmart and trying to get out of everybody's way, I just caught myself like listening and crying with somebody and praying with somebody in Walmart and like laughing with somebody and enjoying what was going on in their life. And you do have to have boundaries. There has to be boundaries. Otherwise, I'll just live in Walmart. That's what will happen. So you got to have boundaries. But what I noticed is when I slow down and I begin to look for opportunities to listen, something changes within my life. And I see opportunities more clearly. And I didn't give unsolicited advice. I just listened. And I like to think it made a difference in them, but it also made a difference in me. It does something in us when we listen. It changes something in us. So I'm learning, not the best at it. I'm learning to make room. I'm learning to be intentional. I'm learning to be slow to speak and making some eye contact. So what about you, I wonder? So if you're sitting here and you're resonating with this and saying, yep, that's me, I need to listen more. I would challenge you this week to try one new practice. Just try it in listening. Maybe practice putting your phone down in every conversation. So this would be the practice. Not practice it once, like, hey, in a conversation, I'm going to do that. If you're going to put this practice in, go every conversation, I'm putting my phone away. And I'm just going to focus on what they're saying. I'm going to put it in my pocket, set it aside, face down, whatever that is, because what you're doing is you're practicing being incarnational in your listening, because you're setting yourself aside and you're moving into their world to see what they might have to say. And you're listening. Try the eye contact thing, maybe. Maybe say, I'm going to try that one. I'm going to do that. Maybe notice some opportunities where you can listen. Maybe when you're in the store, instead of ignoring, pretending like you don't see that person. You ever done that? You're going down the aisle. They don't see that you've seen them yet, so you just kind of do this. Well, guess what? They're probably ignoring you, too. Probably don't want to talk to you. They probably do. They probably were looking for somebody to listen. So maybe When you notice somebody in the store, instead of ignoring that you noticed them, maybe go down the same aisle that they're in. Maybe there's something there you need. Maybe just say hi. Maybe there's an opportunity. They might just say hi. They might be ignoring you, or they might say, hey, and they start to talk. And when you do, stop what you're doing and listen. You put something into practice, whatever it is, to say, I'm going to practice this week listening incarnationally. I'm going to leave my world and move into their world, and I'm going to live in these challenges that exist, and I'm going to love well through the art of listening. Like, seriously, imagine what it would look like in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our schools, if we all just began to be really, really good listeners. What would that do? I'll tell you what it would do. It would change the culture that we live in. It would right some wrongs in some really good ways. And people would feel loved and valued by these people called Christians, because we can't love well if we don't listen well. But if we listen incarnationally like Jesus, we move from hearing someone to loving them. Really big deal. We always think love is just about an action. How can I go do this, or how can I tell them? Man, listening well is loving well. It's a really important thing. Could change the world. Try it. Change your marriage. When I put my phone down that day, it was more helpful for my marriage with Heather. It's a big, big thing that we need to work on. And the way I want to end today is I want us to respond to this good news through communion. So go ahead and get your cups out. If you need one of those, like myself, raise your hand, and Iris will bring one of those around to you. Thank you, Brian. Now, we know ultimately where this incarnation of Jesus led, right? It led him all the way to the cross, where he died for us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our broken relationships, they can flourish because of Jesus. And in fact, he invites us to flourish those relationships. Like, it's God's desire for our relationships to flourish. And the invitation from Jesus is to join him in healthy relationships on his mission of restoring the kingdom through listening. So, let's do this. As we partake in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of the juice, the incarnation of Jesus lives within us. And we get to represent Jesus to the world, right? So let's take the bread. Let's take the juice. And we're agreeing together. This invitation to love, we're agreeing together to this. We cannot love well if we do not listen well. But, good news, if we listen incarnationally like Jesus, we move from hearing someone to loving someone. And that can make all the difference. All the difference. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to look at ourselves and to see where we are challenged with this idea of listening, and to see how for so long we've gotten this backwards. And God, it's not easy to look at our shortcomings, but in the view of grace, it's encouraging because we have hope in you. And Father, thank you for the call to love others. Thank you for the call to embrace your grace and to be able to live out your goodness for other people. And help us this week, God. We need your help. Help us to remember a practice. Help us as we put a practice in order, God, to remind us each day and give us the opportunities, and help us to see them You're always at work. You're always giving us opportunities. The problem is sometimes we just don't see it. So to help us see it this week, give us the desire to love well, that when we think about listening, that we don't just think about listening as an act, but we think about it as love, and help transform something in our hearts and minds so that we can go out of here and be the people of love like you've called us to be. We ask this in your name. Amen.